Good to be here this morning. My English is not going to be great, I'll tell you right that. You are guinea pigs. This is my first message, first Bible speaking in almost 2 years in English. So I don't feel comfortable. I feel more comfortable when I'm preaching in Spanish. So bear with me. If you hear some strange things this morning, it could be strange pronunciations because I'm pronouncing it like I would in Spanish. And that's just the way it is. We used to be great spellers, my wife and I. But now that we've been into Spanish, we're constantly having to look up words. It's great that there's spell check on the computers now because that helps us quite a bit. If you will turn in your Bibles with me to the passage that we read earlier, 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16:13. I thought as we end this year and are close to the beginning of a new year, and of course what we read here is appropriate for any time of the year, but I thought it was especially appropriate for the time that we're in, these last exhortations, the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church, written so many years ago, but applicable to all believers from the time that they were written. And there it says in verse 13 again, and my version will be different from what was read this morning, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with love." I doubt very much that we're going to get finished with that today, but we'll go as far as we can, at least the be watchful part. Verse 13, watchful, or watch ye, translates a Greek word from which the name Gregory is derived. Are there any Gregories here this morning? Old name, maybe. Gregory. Gregory means watchman. The word Gregory, the name Gregory, means watchman. In the days of walled cities, watchmen served for protection from enemies. As we're in Europe and we travel around Europe, Lord gave us the opportunity to go to Scotland, Edinburgh, this past October. And we went to a citadel up on the hill there and a walled area, and you will always see turrets where the watchmen would be posted to protect against enemies that might sneak up and cause problems for the people within those walls. And, you know, we all need to be Gregories in the sense of watchmen, being vigilant for our own spiritual welfare, but also welfare of others, because the Bible talks about, yeah, we need to take care of ourselves, but we also need to look out for one another. In this verse 13, watch ye, all the other verbs that you find here, stand fast, quit you like men, be strong, they're all in the present tense, and they're all commands. And that tells us, present tense, that they're commands that are to be obeyed always. It's never a time when we can put down the guard. God commands us to be watchful always, to stand firm in the faith always, to quit you like men or be men always, be strong. That's something that is always in force for the believer. And why? We can ask ourselves, well, why do we need to watch and stand fast or firm in the faith, be strong and be courageous like men? Why? Well, very simply, because the Word of God tells us, commands us to be that way. If God commanded it, it's important, and we need to obey it. And then we also see that we need to watch. We need to be watchful, vigilant, so as not to be devoured by the devil. 1 Peter 5:8. If you want to turn your Bibles there to 1 Peter 5:8, very familiar verse for many of us. In our church, I have the, what do I want to say here? I wait for our people because it usually takes a while for them to find the verse, and I'll do that here if that's okay, if I keep hearing the pages rustling, okay? 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour or destroy. The devil's like a lion. A lion's a formidable foe. The devil wants to defeat us spiritually. He wants to devour us spiritually. He wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to make us fall. He wants to make us spiritually weak. And we need to be watchful so that he doesn't sneak up on us and hurt us. Our neighbor in the Basque region of Spain has a dog, and I got upset with his dog because I love dogs, and I pet them and show them interest. And I had in the past petted this dog, and this dog came by one day and turned my back to it, and he nipped me in the leg. And so this dog is one that you have to be watching, because if you're watching him, he won't do it. But if you're not watchful, he'll sneak up on you and nip you. And I thought, you know, this is an illustration of what we need to be doing regarding the devil. We need to be watchful, because if we're vigilant, he won't be able to sneak up on us and hurt us as he so desires to do. I was thinking about this, and you know, part of the watching is not being ignorant of his devices, as 2 Corinthians 2:11 tells us. Part of watching, being vigilant, is understanding how he works. And what does Satan do? Well, we know he's the father of lies. He lies. He deceives. We know he loves to foment division in the local church and between believers. He plays to our weaknesses. He tempts us in our weak points. And so we need to be wise as to his devices, not being ignorant of his devices. That's part of the watching and being watchful process. So we need to watch because we have a formidable foe, the devil there, seeking whom he may devour. And then we need to watch so that we don't enter into temptation and sin. Christ there in Gethsemane exhorted Peter, James, and John, Matthew 26:41, Christ exhorted them, watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. Many times the spirit's willing, but what's the problem? The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. And because the flesh is weak, we need to be constantly watching. Be watchful. And I thought of Peter, James, and John. What was their problem at this point? They were tired. Like some of you right now, maybe been fighting to stay awake. They were tired. And, you know, it's especially difficult to watch when you're sleepy. They were physically tired. Physical weakness can affect us spiritually, causing us to let the guard down. And when we let the guard down, we're weak, and it can lead to temptation and sin. Listen to the Apostle Paul, how many times he talks about watching, being watchful. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 31, Paul here is exhorting the leaders of the Ephesian church. He's not in Ephesus. He's in Miletus, and they had come to him. And he says in verse 31, and we're only going to read the one word, watch. He tells them, Watch. Be vigilant. Be careful. He commanded the Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. There's that word watch again. We need to be continually in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us pray without ceasing. We know that. We need to be continually in prayer, and we need to be continually vigilant in prayer with thanksgiving. Our prayers need to be full of thanksgiving. Our hearts need to be full of thanksgiving. Our minds need to be full of thanksgiving. Because a thankful heart, a heart full of praise, and a mind full of thankfulness keeps us from the sins of ingratitude and complaining. Sins that leave us weak spiritually and susceptible to other sins. So we need to watch so that we don't enter into temptation and sin. King David said in Psalm 39:1, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I believe taking heed to our ways is definitely a part of what is being watchful or vigilant. Take heed, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. Have you recently stopped to take heed of your ways? The context of what Paul, or what David rather, says here has to do with his tongue. He says that I sin not with my tongue. Like David, we need to watch what we say. We need to watch so as not to offend with our words. James talks about the tongue, doesn't he? And we need to watch because James tells us that we all offend with our tongues. And if any man doesn't, the same as a perfect man. And I don't know any perfect men. We all offend with our tongues, and we need to watch so as not to offend. We need to take heed to our ways that we sin not with our tongues. James 3:2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle or control the whole body. We need to watch what we say. And because no one is perfect, we will offend, sad to say. But we can offend less if we're vigilant, if we're watchful, take heed to what we say. And when we offend, we need to be quick to apologize. We need to humble ourselves, acknowledge the offense, ask for forgiveness. And if you've been the one offended by someone else's words and they come to you and ask forgiveness, you need to be quick to forgive, like you would like them to forgive you if you were in their situation. So we need to watch, as we've seen here, because we have a formidable foe. We need to watch so that we don't offend with our words. We need to watch, put a guard on our mouths regarding what Ephesians 4:25 says. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. We need to take heed to our tongues regarding lying. White lies don't exist. If it's a lie, it's a lie. And God hates lies and lying. Proverbs 6:17, a list of the seven things that are abomination to God, and there's the lie. In Spanish, white lies are called mentiras piadosas. They're called pious lies. Can you imagine a pious lie? Doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. And we do it here somewhat too, but we have a man in our church who's a good Christian man, but he's, you know, he just follows the culture there, what he grew up with, what they do, and he'll be telling us a story. He's a great storyteller, entertains us. The simplest story, he can make it sound so interesting and funny. But sometimes when he gets something wrong and some detail wrong, he'll say, miento, I lie. when he goes to correct something that, you know, he may have incorrectly stated. And sometimes people here, I've heard people in English do that as well. And that's something that they do. But many times, the Spanish people lie without making any correction. They don't say miento, they just lie, plain out lie. And some people over there, we don't believe anything they say unless we can confirm it independently. But to say all that, lying is totally, totally, totally out of character with the Christian life. Satan's the father of lies. God's our father, and he's the father of truth. And for the believer, everything needs to be in regard to that truth. Ephesians 4:29 also tells us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The word corrupt there speaks of something rotten. And by extension, if it's food, it's unserviceable. You can't use it. It's rotten. We need to watch our mouths to make sure that only good words, appropriate words, servable words, words that build up, gracious words, and words that are a blessing to others come out of our mouths. I ask you this morning, does that characterize your speech? Appropriate words, words that build up, gracious words. And if not, why not? Because foul, nasty, ungracious, unkind talk is totally uncharacteristic of a Christian. What does the Bible say about people when they heard Christ? They said that his words were gracious words. And he is our example, and we need to follow his example in our talk. Many Christians know how to speak graciously in church. When they leave the doors and they get with their family, it's a total different situation, and that's really sad. I know many years ago, I remember seeing the woman sat on the front pew and actually was the wife of a deacon, and found out later that in church, saint, but at home, it was a totally different story. Our words will either justify us or condemn us, as Christ said. And we really need to be careful that we put a watch on the door of our mouths, as David said in Psalm 141:3. But parents, how do you talk to your children? Are you giving them a biblical example to follow? Husbands, how do you speak to your wives? And wives, how do you speak to your husbands? Is Christ pleased with what he hears in your home? Again, Psalm 141:3, we need to pray like David. You know what David prayed in Psalm 141:3? He says, set a watch or guard, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. We need the Lord's help, but we also need to do our part. I like to tell our people there in Spain, as I preach and teach to them, that, and we sing hymns also. I notice there's some hymns that we sing, and it's almost like it's all on the Lord. Yes, without the Lord, we can do nothing, but there's a part that each believer has in living for the Lord and in doing what's right. It's not just like, Lord, I've got this problem. You've got to take it away from me. Well, we need the Lord's help, but we need to do our part. We need to make an effort to take our steps that are necessary in order to eliminate the sin in our lives. We need the Lord's help, and we need to do our part. We need to bite our tongues a lot more than we do. We need to desire as David did. What a tremendous verse, Psalm 19:14. Psalm 19:14. We need to desire as David did that the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in the Lord's sight, the Lord who is our strength and redeemer. What a tremendous thing that is to think about that, to meditate that. Lord, help that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. And then take the steps that we need to do to make sure that that's the case. And like David, we need to speak the praise of the Lord, Psalm 145, 21. If we're praising the Lord, if we're speaking his praise, foul things will not be coming out of our mouths, nasty things, unkind things. We need to watch because we have a formidable foe. We need to watch also because we don't know when Christ will come. Christ commanded, if you want to go with me to Matthew 25:13. And there we're commanded to watch. We need to watch because we don't know when Christ will come. Matthew 25:13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. We need to be prepared for his coming at any moment because that's the reality. It could be at any moment. Mark 13:33 says, take heed, watch and pray, for you do know not when the time is. And the time referred to is the coming of the Lord. Let's go to Mark 13. I see here I want to read a few more verses there. Mark 13, we read verse 33. Let's look at verses 34. 35 and 36. Mark 13, I'll read verse 33 again. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at even, or at midnight, or at cockcrowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch, because we don't know when the Lord will come. The fact that we don't know the time should keep us awake, spiritually awake. We need to watch so that Christ will not find us sleeping at his coming. When we sleep, as far as conscious activity is concerned, we're inactive. I know you see films of people sleeping and they're moving all around and that kind of thing. There's not the fact that there's no physical activity, but there's no conscious activity. We're not aware of what's happening around us when we sleep. We're passive. And the point here is that we must never be asleep spiritually. We must never be passive spiritually. We must never be inactive as far as the Lord is concerned. Passivity is not a Christian option. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 addresses this same theme. And verse 5, I'll start reading with verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 5:5-6. It says there, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. There we have the word again, watch, vigilant, and sober. The word translated sober here is also sometimes translated watch. So we can see the emphasis on watching. We need to watch against temptation, lethargy, and distress in the Christian life. There needs to be seriousness about our spiritual walk. Spiritually, most likely someone here this morning needs to wake up. You're sleeping spiritually. You're passive. Wake up. Christ is coming. May he find you not sleeping, but awake, active, and faithful. May he find us all that way. Now, we need to watch so that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. 1 John 2:28. We need to watch so that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hands here this morning, but maybe someone here has experienced embarrassment in the workplace. The boss left, you thought he might be gone for a while, and you slacked off in your work. Maybe even you're goofing off, and unexpectedly he returns. Did your face turn red? Were you lost for words? You had no excuse. You were caught. We don't want to be in that situation when the Lord comes. I don't know if this story is true. I think it is. I think I heard it. You can confirm the story if you heard it as well. Do you remember hearing about, I heard about pilots who fell asleep during a flight. Is this a true story? They fell asleep during the flight. Of course, you know you have automatic pilots, so you know more or less it's okay. And they overflew the airport where they were supposed to land. And I don't know if radio call from that airport or whatever woke them up, but they had to turn the plane around and head back to the airport where they were destined to land. Can you imagine their embarrassment? I mean, pilots asleep on the job. I mean, and both of them, you know, maybe take turns if you're going to sleep, but both at the same time. Probably lost their jobs over that one. But you know, there's something worse than that, and that is the possibility of our being found sleeping spiritually at the Lord's return. Being found of him spiritually indifferent, in sin, in a sinful act, in a place where a child of God should never be. How shameful for that Christian. 1 John 2:28 says that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So obviously there's the possibility of that, there being shame at his coming if we're not doing what he wants us to be doing. How shameful for a Christian. We need to watch so that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him. And we'll talk about that confidence a little bit later. Also, we need to watch because there's blessing for those watching when the Lord returns. Luke 12:37, the first part of the verse says, you know what it says in Spanish? Bienaventurados aquellos siervos a los cuales su Señor cuando venga haya velando. I didn't change this verse to English, okay? Blessed those servants whose Lord, when he comes, finds watching. Quick translation. Returning to our illustration of a worker, his workplace, and the boss leaving and returning unexpectedly, there's nothing greater for the worker to be found of his boss fully engaged in his work responsibility. And in this scenario, there's no embarrassment. The worker can feel good. Hey, he found me doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Worker can be confident because he's been faithful. And this should be the way we want to be found with the Lord when he comes for us. We're going to move on from watching to standing firm in the faith. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians 16, the second command in that verse, stand fast or firm in the faith. Standing fast means not moving. Not moving in your faith. Holding on without wavering to the promises of God. Not yielding in any area of your faith and doctrinal beliefs. It's what Ephesians 4:14 tells us. Not being carried about with every wind of doctrine. Are you firm in your faith? Standing fast in the faith is also standing fast in the Lord, as the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Philippians. Philippians 4:1 says, "So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Standing fast in the faith, standing fast in the Lord. Same thing, same important things that we see there. We see this theme reflected in the guy's name, I think, is Mississippi John Hurt. Mississippi John Hurt. He wrote, "I shall not be moved." I don't know if it's in the hymn book or not that we have here, but he wrote, "I shall not be moved." How does it go? I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like the tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I didn't know some of these other verses until I looked them up. It goes like this: I'm on my way to heaven. I shall not be moved. I'm on my way to heaven. I shall not be moved. Just like the tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. O preacher, I shall not be moved. O preacher, I shall not be moved. Just like the tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I'm sanctified and holy. I shall not be moved. I'm sanctified and holy. I shall not be moved. Just like the tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Now, we need to have that steadfastness. Always careful. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. But we need to be dedicated to standing fast or firm in our faith, always depending on the Lord, never thinking that we've arrived. I'd like to share with you two examples of people mentioned in Scripture that didn't stand firm in their faith or in their spiritual life. In 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul mentions Demas. 2 Timothy 4:10, he says, writing to Timothy, and we know that 2 Timothy was written very close to the Apostle Paul's death, his execution by the Romans. He says, "Therefore Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." As we mentioned, Paul in prison near the end of his life, it was an awful thing that Demas did in forsaking him. At that time, he needed all the encouragement and help that he could receive. But it's interesting what the Scripture says there. Why did Demas leave Paul? Paul says, the love of the world, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Love for the world weakens our spiritual strength. Love of the world undermines our standing firm in the faith. Familiar verses, 1 John 2:15 and following, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." If you're not firm in the faith, it very well could be due to your love for the world and material things. James talks about a double-minded man. Believers' interests, there's this double mind. There's this, yes, the Lord, but yes, the world too. And there's this strain between the two, between the Lord and the world, between faith and doubt. My plea to you this morning is to stand firm in the faith. Don't be a Demas. Support God's servants. Support God's work. I have another example for you this morning. John Mark, he wavered in his being firm in the faith during the first missionary journey, and really not that far into the first missionary journey, he abandoned Paul and Barnabas. And Paul was so disappointed with Mark that he didn't want to take him on the second. Barnabas, being who he was, the way he was, Barnabas, he wanted to give him another chance. But Paul, he wouldn't have it. Acts chapter 15, If you'll go with me rapidly to Acts chapter 15 and verse 38. Many of you are familiar with this passage. Verse 37, Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. The wonderful thing that we see, though, regarding Mark is that by God's grace, he became strong in the faith and ended up being useful for the ministry and the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul says there, only Luke is with me. But then he says, take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Mark, who had been unprofitable, is now Mark, who is profitable to the Apostle Paul for the ministry. What a blessing that Mark became useful to Paul for the ministry. And it's also a great lesson that if you failed the Lord and haven't been firm in your faith, you haven't stood firm in your faith, by God's grace, you can return to steadfastness. Of course, again, you'll have to do your part, acknowledging your sin, you're not being firm in the faith, asking God's forgiveness and asking him to help you. And depending on the Lord and his power, you can be firm in the faith. Now, interesting, talking about Paul, who commanded through the Holy Spirit, what we read in 1 Corinthians 16:9, what he preached to others, he lived. He said with total honesty in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Are you firm in the faith? Firm in the Lord? Are you a double-minded person? The Bible says the double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. We don't want to be that way regarding the Lord in our Christian lives. Be a single-minded Christian, everything for the Lord. Be watchful. Be firm in the faith. And then it also tells us in 1 Corinthians 16:13, quit you like men, or have the courage in your Christian walk, courage in your testimony. Don't be timid. Be strong for the Lord. And then also it says, be strong. This is the only of these four verbs that we have here that we find in the passive tense. And what does that mean? That means is we need to let the Lord be strengthening us in our Christian lives. All the others, we're doing the effort. No, we're watching. We're standing fast in the faith with the Lord's help. We're having courage in our Christian walk. But then this be strong is something is acting on us to make us strong. And what is that? What makes a Christian strong? What makes a Christian strong? Reading the Word, praying, our time with the Lord. God strengthens us by our time with Him, by His Word, by His Spirit. The question is, are we allowing God to do the work in us that He wants to do, or are we resisting the strengthening that He wants to give to us? Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and then be strong or be strengthened. Let God strengthen you. And then finally, let all your things be done with love. Everything with love. How different our homes would be, our churches would be, our marriages would be if we did everything with 1 Corinthians 13, love. God help us to do that. But as I end this morning, I do want to say that if you have never been born again, it's impossible for you to obey the things that we've read here this morning. Totally impossible for you because you've never been born again. You've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You've never been saved. You can't do these things that we've studied this morning until you've experienced saving faith. Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's the gospel, 1 Corinthians 13. Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And to receive forgiveness of your sins, the eternal salvation of your soul, you need to repent of those sins and put your faith in Christ as your personal Savior. I end with Scripture, Romans 10, 9, 10, and 13. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never done that, I encourage you to call on the name of the Lord and ask him to save you. Shall we pray?